Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of morning prayer on this, the fifth Sunday of Easter. We welcome visitors who are joining with us. All of you are very welcome. Following the service, the ARC Club members are very kindly hosting the refreshments. I do hope that you can wait behind to enjoy those and also to look at the wonderful paintings that they have on display at the west end of our church. Our service begins on page 101. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done, by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all this past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praises.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Alleluia.
The detailed laws in Leviticus prescribe a way of holy living. As Jesus says, all thou shalt not commandments really point to a generosity of spirit, a concern for the weak, a forgiving and gentle heart. The holy God requires us to be like him, loving every neighbor. The Old Testament reading is from Leviticus chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or to fair to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take a vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
The New Testament. The Gospel takes us back to the night of the Last Supper. Judas has gone to betray Jesus, who now speaks of his own destiny, not as a failure, but as glory, fulfilling to the uttermost God's way of love. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where am I going? You cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. As a child, I lived about 50 miles from the nearest seaside resort. Days on the beach by the sea took much planning, and a few hours by car before my sister and I, along with our parents, reached our destination. And perhaps that's one reason why Jenny and I spend as much time as possible near the sea, whether at our home in Bangor, at our seaside retreat in Ballycastle, or elsewhere. In the next month or two, hopefully, I intend paying a visit, a brief one, to the seaside resort of Kilkee in County Clare, memories of which bring me back to my very early childhood years. It's not my favourite seaside resort in the west of Ireland. Perhaps Roundstone in Connemara, County Galway, which is well known to our rector, would rank more highly than any others. For 4 or 5 years, if not more, when our children were young, we spent 2 weeks of our holidays in Roundstone. From there, we visited the surrounding countryside, including the Aran Islands, and made friends with a family with whom we've had regular contact for over 30 years. Now, I realise that if I'm not careful, that this could develop into a tourist board talk, highlighting the merits of an area which might compel some people to visit it. And again, we would encourage them to do so, I think, because it's got a lot to offer. But be as it may, I wish to focus very briefly this morning on one experience in Roundstone over 25 years ago. On a particular Sunday morning, we missed the service in the local Church of Ireland parish church. The neighbouring one was miles away, so I decided to pop into the local Roman Catholic church. Mass had just commenced, so I slipped into the back row. The building was packed. I knew the rector, the parish priest rather, was popular. One of the reasons I was told, he had a reputation for preaching very short sermons at a time when virtually everybody felt obliged to attend a service. The back seat, however, was not the best place in which to sit. Some of the less devout, and they were all men in the back seat, read their Sunday papers as the priest intoned the service. I don't see anybody doing that this morning. Patrick has his hands up, so we're all right. A few of them, in audible whispers, discussed the prospects for the teams in that day's football match. And then we came to the sermon. It was based on the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it went something like this. You know that a poor, unfortunate fellow got beaten up as he travelled along a country road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Two religious individuals, yeah, they were respectable men like many of you here this morning, saw him and hurried on without giving him a second glance. And then along came a man who was considered to be an outsider, a bit of a blow-in, an immigrant. And he proved to be the one who helped the poor man who had been beaten up. I want to tell you that in telling that story, Jesus told his listeners to do likewise and care for others. So now, my brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about. So get out there and make a greater effort to love your neighbours and care for them. That was it. And it took less than 90 seconds. Now, Rector, I'm not advocating, you're not advocating, and I don't think the people want it here, that our sermons should be less than 2 minutes each Sunday morning. For proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ merits more time than that. But in saying that, I have not forgotten the priest's thought for the day. Love your neighbour. That's a practical exhortation, and it's the theme of both scripture readings this morning. The Old Testament reading was from the book of Leviticus. Now, unless I had gifts that I do not possess, a series of sermons on Sunday morning delivered by me, or dare I say delivered by the rector, for 4 weeks, each lasting 20 minutes from the book of Leviticus, might result in a drastic reduction in numbers attending those services. For the book is concerned largely with ritual and ceremony, connected with the temple in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago or more. It deals with the duties of the priest, and it sets out a whole range of religious obligations that the faithful people had to observe. Unless you're keen to find out more about ancient Jewish laws, regulations, and rituals, you might find all that fairly dry stuff. However, it does include some very relevant advice, and this morning's passage is a good example. Let me repeat some of its words. You shall not steal or deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not oppress your neighbour. You shall not slander people. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudges against any people. But you shall love your neighbour as yourself. That's fairly forthright stuff and could not be dismissed, surely, as irrelevant or unrealistic. I recall a conversation I had with my bishop of the time when I was faced with a difficult issue in a parish where I was rector. In frustration, I said, "You know, Bishop, some people are unlovable." To which he replied, "Ken, some people are very difficult to like or love. But let's remember that as God loves everyone, irrespective of their faults, nobody is unlovable." Now, I've had reason to wrestle with those words on a number of occasions. And to be perfectly honest, they continue to challenge me to this very day. Love your neighbour as yourself. Those words occur again in the New Testament Gospel, the words of Jesus Christ. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." As Christians, we have a system of beliefs summed up in the words of the Apostles' Creed or Nicene Creed, which we profess together at virtually every service. That is very important, and of course it's the bedrock of our faith. However, practical Christianity has to be seen and evident. For to quote a great preacher of 60 years ago, "It is on a Monday in the workplace or in the home or in the community that you can test the real temperature and level of faith of those who meet together on Sunday morning." I hope the significance of that statement is self-evident. Almost all of you have heard of Maundy Thursday, which falls in Holy Week on the day before Good Friday. It's a day when money is distributed, for example, by the Queen, and it commemorates the Last Supper of Jesus. It recalls the washing of the feet by Jesus, an act of humility. But why do I mention it this morning? Because we're not in Holy Week. Because Maundy derived from the Latin word mandatum, meaning command, and reminds us of the words of the New Testament reading today when Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." A real loving and serving church, which I believe we are encouraged to be here in St. Columbus, is one where we are helped to develop our capacities and capabilities to care, to serve, and to love. When we look at the world, its problems, its evils, its fears, we may be tempted to despair. When we look at our own problems and our faults, we may be tempted to despair. However, we should not forget that behind the selfishness and the chronic problems of the human race and of ourselves, God is present, bringing good out of evil, turning tragedy into triumph, yes, even turning death into life. The Christian faith proclaims in a very dysfunctional world that it is light that shines out of darkness, and the darkness does not and will not overcome it. So, if I can go back to Roundstone, very brief, not as brief as that parish priest, be of good cheer, and above all else, as those who wish to follow in the ways of Christ, love one another as he loves us. Amen. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, may clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The collect for today, the fifth Sunday of Easter. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity.
Amen.
Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turning to page 175, we join together in the Litany. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy on us.
God the Son, redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God the Holy Spirit, giver of life,
have mercy on us.
Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God,
have mercy on us.
Save us, good Lord, from all sin and wickedness, from pride, hypocrisy, and conceit, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness.
Save us, good Lord.
From sins of thought, word, and deed, from the lusts of the flesh, from the deceits of the world, and the snares of the devil.
Save us, good Lord.
From fire, storm, and flood, from disease, pestilence, and want, from war and murder, and from dying unprepared.
Save us, good Lord.
From all false doctrine, from hardness of heart, from contempt of your word and commandment, and from the evil of schism.
Save us, good Lord.
In times of sorrow and in times of joy, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Save us, good Lord.
Save us, Lord Christ, by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood, and obedience, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Save us, Lord Christ.
by your ministry in word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom.
Save us, Lord Christ.
By your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, and by your precious death and burial.
Save us, Lord Christ.
By your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit.
Save us, Lord Christ.
Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church. Fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give your church courage to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give knowledge and understanding to bishops, priests, and deacons, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your word.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give all people grace to receive your word and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bring all who have erred and are deceived into the way of truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Guard and bless our rulers, and grant that they may trust in you and seek your honour and glory.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless our country, and give grace, wisdom, and understanding to all in authority.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless the European Union, and draw us closer to one another in justice and freedom.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice in honesty and truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep all who maintain peace and safety.
Hear us, Lord.
Give to all nations unity, peace, and concord.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen the faithful, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and drive out all evil.
Hear us, good Lord.
Support and encourage all who are in poverty, unemployment, or distress. Protect those whose work is dangerous, and keep in safety all who travel.
Hear us, good Lord.
Keep fathers, mothers, and children united in their family life, and give them wisdom and strength in times of stress.
Hear us, good Lord.
Heal the sick, care for the old and lonely, and comfort the bereaved.
Hear us, good Lord.
Remember the poor who long to hear good news. Give us the will to strengthen them through acts of generous love.
Hear us, good Lord.
Show your pity in victims of strife, on the homeless and the hungry, on prisoners and on all who live in fear.
Hear us, good Lord.
Forgive our enemies, persecutors and slanderers, and turn their hearts.
Hear us, good Lord.
Guide and direct all who influence others through the written or the spoken word, and inspire all who serve mankind in science, industry, and art.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep all your people.
Hear us, good Lord.
Teach us to use the resources of the earth to your glory, that all may share in your goodness and praise you for your loving kindness.
Hear us, good Lord.
Saviour of the world, forgive our sins known and unknown, things done and left undone. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our lives according to your holy word, and share with all your people the joys of your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world,
give us your peace.
Thank you.
Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Please be seated. Firstly, I want to offer words of support and of pastoral concern to all of you. And I also want to offer guidance to our assistant priest in the same sentence. We're not going to have 20-minute sermons, not in this church. And we're not going to have 4 weeks of sermons on Leviticus. If you would like to know more about Leviticus, Canon Smith is your man. He set us off at a very good start this morning. When I was a curate in St. Mark's Dundee many, many years ago, I arrived 27 years ago next month as a curate. I came literally with a suitcase, very little furniture, and had to start off as a bachelor in a new parish in a new jurisdiction. And when I walked into the church, and the rector then was Archdeacon James Moore, who then became Bishop of Connor, he said to me words that I would never forget, a bit like the parish priest in Roundstone. He said, "John, in this church, we don't preach the entire gospel on any one Sunday. We keep a little for next Sunday, and the Sunday after, and the Sunday after that." And I have never forgotten those words. And in other words, the parish priest of Roundstone certainly got it down to a fine line. And what I would say is this: the practical reality of what we experience in church to send us out strengthened and enriched and encouraged to live and work to God's praise and glory. And love has to be at the centre of all of that. So, short sermons, focused sermons, and services to enrich us, that's what we aim to do. When we get it wrong, we apologise, but that's our focus here, long may it be so. As we gather here, there are many aspects in all of our lives that we need to commend to the love of God for guidance and for strength. In this coming week, we're going to see different aspects of our parish reflected and expressed in different ways. Firstly, tomorrow, we're going to gather for the funeral of Robert McKay, who was our oldest parishioner, aged 104 and 4 months. A life wonderfully lived, a life that offered love and care to his family, to us in St. Columbus, and to all who were privileged to know him, who was cared for exemplary by his daughters and his son so wonderfully in his own home, and just spent a few hours in hospital before God called him home. So our prayers go to the McKay family as they gather tomorrow for the funeral, also to the Fee family as they gather on Friday for the funeral of Jack McKee, and also to the Martin family as they gather on Tuesday for the funeral of Marion Martin, who died last week. To all of them go our love and our prayers. Then next Sunday we're going to gather in another expression of love and care to the Albury family for the baptism of one of our newest and youngest parishioners, Evan Albury. And the baptism will be conducted by her grandfather, Canon Walter Laverty, here at 10:30. Two aspects of love, different generations, and yet the same love and the same God. To all those who are preparing for examinations, go our love and our prayers at a time where much care and love is required by so many people. But love is the focus. May we do as Canon Smith encouraged us. May we do it, and may we express it, and may we show it. And just in this coming week, different aspects and different circumstances and different situations all requiring love and support. May we do it and express it joyfully in a way that is required. Today concludes Christian Aid Week. If you haven't already used the envelopes and would like to make a contribution, there are envelopes at the back of the church to be placed in the box at the door before you leave, and all contributions gratefully received. Let us pray. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.